Hey, y'all are listening to Big Facts New Cap with Paul and Adrian. Welcome back to the only podcast that's number one with world record setters and swirlied, freckled bedwetters. Let's get into it.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Adrian, I can't believe I haven't told you about this on pod before. I've had a recent love affair with the new Ghost brand energy drinks.
I have no idea. I don't even know if we have these.
They have a Warheads flavor, and I'm trying the other flavors, and none of them are good, but the Warheads flavor... out of control, man. So good.
Is that a collab or is it just made by the corporation that also owns Warheads?
You know, I haven't looked into the lore of Ghost flavored energy drinks. And it's weird because I'm not an energy drink person. I never liked Red Bull, Bang. What are some of the other ones?
C3 Monster?
Is one. Monster.
Nitrous.
Oh, yeah. Nitro. It's not nitrous, right? It's just nitro.
Yeah, it's the laughing gas.
But Ghost, as soon as I saw that they had it's really the Warheads that brought me into the world of energy drinks, because I fuck with Warheads so much.
What flavor of Warhead?
All of them.
No, this is the flavor of the...
Oh, I think I don't know. It's more sour than anything, but I guess maybe like the apple.
Oh, okay. It's just general Warhead flavor?
Yeah, it tastes all like right. Warheads, man.
All right. I'm glad you found something that made you happy.
Look at the marketing for this. Is it not so upsetting? I think part of it is that it looks so gross, and I kind of like how it literally feels like I'm agreeing to purchase and consume poison.
What's the flavor? Orange vanilla? Is that what it says?
This one is orange cream.
Ooh, it looks like an orange creamsicle.
I mixed this with a little bit of vodka for the episode, man, and I'm not going to lie to you. I took a sip, and it was actually a very good mixer. And I feel like I'm going to be off the fucking wall.
Yeah, I was about to say, mixing alcohol energy drinks now, dude, you're going to be one of those guys.
I'm going straight for Loco, which was one of the first things I ever got drunk on. So this is really a return to home for me.
Yeah.
Returning to being 14 years old, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Drinking 4 Loco out of a kangaroo K-cup or whatever. What are you calling that?
The orange cream vodka? Oh, I guess I do get to name it. I'm probably the first person to officially publish something talking about this combination.
Yeah, the drink of summer.
The orange cream ghost energy drink mixed with vodka. The drink of the summer.
Call it going ghost.
I don't think that really gets at the idea that it has orange cream flavor.
Well, I don't think names of drinks have to prepare the person. I think sometimes they
can
right. just be
named. Because the other week, I swear to God, I was telling the bartender, this tastes nothing like Arnold Palmer.
Exactly.
I think the name of this drink is Orange Juice. Glad I didn't say banana.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Orange Juice. Glad this doesn't taste like bananas.
That really preps me for what the drink's about.
Oh, yeah. You do have that thing about like, oh, I don't like restaurants that are named after somebody's name because you don't really get an idea of the vibe or cuisine. You don't feel that way about drinks. You're not like a Shirley Temple. Get out of here. That doesn't prep me for what's in this drink.
What are you ordering at bars? Why are you only ordering things named after people? I'll take a Tom Collins. See?
Would you rather have...
Are we playing Would You Rather?
Would you rather have $5,000 right now or
yes.
a drink... or a drink... in perpetuity, that's as famous as, like, a Shirley Temple or Tom Collins named Adrian Perez that you could get at any bar, and it was just a well-known thing.
Do I get to pick what it's made out of?
Yes, and people do... You don't get to get rich off of it, but people do know the history of it is based off of you.
And I could probably get, like, some free at a bar every now and then?
Yeah, that's about, like, how much you get to benefit from it. It's, like, a fun story.
Yeah, I take a drink.
Over the $5,000?
Yeah.
You really do have a whimsy for life, because I know $5,000 could do a lot for you right now, Adrian.
Yeah, but also, man, that means that drink's going to outlive me by a lot.
Yeah.
At least until the climate wars happen.
Oh, wait, you want to see the shirt Izzy got me from her trip to Texas?
Don't mess with Texas. Oh, okay. I was actually going to ask you what that design was, because I saw the red thing with the star, and I assumed it was a communist thing. The other thing that I wanted to comment on when I was just looking at the shirt was it looks high quality, but I don't know. It looks like it's made of like a thick fabric.
She got it from the airport.
All right. Yeah. That's where they make the best stuff. So is that like a going out shirt or is that like a workout shirt or what are you doing for that? The podcast.
Oh, I went out with it yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did anybody ask you about it?
The waitress at the Thai place.
Oh, okay. She was like, what are people trying to do to Texas? What are you protecting Texas from?
Texas does need me to protect it.
Now, what'd the waitress say?
I think she just asked me what it was about, and I was like, oh, yeah, she got it from me. She's from Texas. I've only been 3 times.
Tejas.
I am not a Tejano. You know what I mean?
You know who was just in Tejas? Our boy Justin.
Justin?
Yeah, Houston. He was in Tejas for a wedding.
Mm.
He was in Austin. And he didn't get a kolache.
He didn't get a kolache?
I know, I was yelling at him on the phone.
What part of Texas, though?
Austin.
Oh, yeah, he should have gotten a kolache.
Well, notoriously, Justin is a big old dumbass, so.
But yeah, you've often made the comment before that you would be happy to make a pivot into being a cult leader. And I would too, but I don't think we're actually that well suited for it. But I could see Justin making like a late in life really successful pivot to cult leader.
I said faith healer, never cult leader. I don't want to be like the leader of the church. That seems like too much.
You just want the role as an accountant?
No, like a faith healer. Something I can like, you know, just do on the side to get some cash.
But then people might ask you to do acupuncture, and I hate the idea of having to stick people with needles.
Well, I would say I'm not licensed. I am licensed to faith heal, but I'm not licensed to do acupuncture in the state of California.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sure most people who do acupuncture are licensed.
I passed the test in South Carolina, so that's the only place I'm allowed to practice.
What's up with you, man? How's your week been?
Bro, I have been fucking up the HBO Max that I got access to, man. It has been awesome. Let's see. You know, I've always kind of considered HBO Max to be the best streaming service, and I don't know why I don't pay for it, but getting it for free has been awesome. I watched all of Smiling Friends in like one day, because that was a pretty easy show to get through. I caught up on Fired on Mars, which I think has like 2 more episodes that are coming out. They release 2 per week. That's pretty good. Good little, it's adult animation, but it's not like overly comedic. It's kind of a sci-fi drama, so that's kind of cool if you're interested in that. And then now I'm working my way through Insecure, which I did not realize had 5 seasons, so it's a bit of a commitment, but it's all pretty fun so far. I texted Paul some thoughts about one of the episodes. I think my other note about one of the other episodes is they made fun of how white people say turmeric, which I think you mispronounced last episode, too. So they made fun of how white people and Paul say turmeric.
Oh, it's not turmeric, it's turmeric?
No, there's an R in there, yeah. I don't know why people always miss it. And then Jubilee had a great odd one out today. About who had a Brazilian butt lift and who had natural booties. So my 2 favorite things, Jubilee and butts.
Wait, who was the odd one out? Was one of them Brazilian and the rest were natural, or was it all Brazilian?
Yeah, it was six natural, 1 unnatural, if you want to use that terminology.
Okay, let me guess. It's Jubilee, so the person with the Brazilian butt lift had like an oddly tasteful one, so it was kind of hard for them to...
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but she does get taken out, but not round one, which okay. I think the person who gets voted out round one very correctly was like, I think this is a compliment. They're saying, like, your ass is unreal.
How did they dress for that episode? Because not that they need to be.
So that's the strategy, bro, is that one of the girls wore a skirt and everyone was like, oh, she's like obfuscating her butt. She's obviously the mole. And everyone else was like, I'm going to wear something pretty toit.
They're being paid to take part in the game show, not expose themselves on camera, but it is objectively kind of, it feels like you should wear yoga pants to that event. You know what I'm saying?
You have to think about who's applying for these jobs. So like one of them was like a fitness media influencer. So like that's kind of the uniform.
Yeah.
You know, I think she's comfortable with it.
One of them showed up in a full like mascot uniform.
Yeah, exactly. They all show up looking like pre-18-year-old Billie Eilish.
Nah, if you pay for it, you gotta show it off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Although Brazilian butt lift, right? Kind of dangerous. I mean, I know, like, obviously, if you get like the knockoff ones,
yeah.
But if you get the real ones, are they not still kind of bad for you, or are we good with
that? I mean,
that
apparently 2 out of every, like, 600 are, like, actually fatal, so I don't know, man. It's a weird amount of risk, I guess, but who knows, maybe it's worth it. I just wonder if their insurance covers it, because...
France gets fries, Belgium gets toast. What, Brazil has to get butt lifts? Like, do you think they're kind of upset about how all that, like, shook out?
Wait, the Belgians get toast?
Oh, they get waffles.
Also, I think they made fries, not French people.
Yeah, but I mean in the naming.
Oh, okay. Belgian waffles, French fries. Yeah. Okay.
The French get fries and
Swedish meatballs.
The Belgian get waffles. You think the Brazilians are like, really, we get butt lifts? That's ours? That's how
they're
kind
of into it. Yeah. Well, they get nuts too.
Oh, this is cut it out of the pod.
Nope. Okay. All right.
No cap.
All right. Back to F. All right. Speaking of which, I also was following the WGA strike throughout the week. Yeah, that seems like they're doing cool stuff.
You know what I say about the WGA strike? Right on.
Come on now, you're telling them to scab?
Oh shit, yeah. Well, I was continue mostly going writing. For the pun, but you're right. But
yeah. Scabbing's cool. I need my SNL.
Oh, are the SNL writers striking?
Yeah, they're part of WGA, yeah.
So the show got better?
Come on now. Now you're just stealing jokes from Twitter.
Is that really a joke from Twitter?
I think it might have been Ben Shapiro or someone, you know, one of those people.
Oh, god damn it.
You know, those bedfellows of yours.
My ideological peers.
Yeah. Did you have any media roundup that you wanted to bring in?
Yeah, I watched the movie RMN for Romania. It was a really good movie. Slower, more thoughtful sort of film, but...
Mm. That reminds me, I watched Ponyo. That was a bangaruno. Like I said, I did not realize until I looked it up afterwards that it's one of the more contentious Miyazaki films, but I thought it was fun. And, you know, even the dub was pretty good.
Cool. All right, RMN and Ponyo.
Oh, do you have anything else? Didn't mean to interrupt you during your...
Kara Jackson's Why Does the World Give Us People to Love? Been listening to that. Kind of okay. A sad album, but okay. A goodie.
Okay. It sounds fire. Do you want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's get into the theme.
All right. Don't mess with Texas.
Our theme is world records.
World records. World records.
World records.
Boom. You ever break a world record?
Yes.
Are you kind of like Eminem, where you sound like a broken record every time you break a record?
No, I've only broken one record.
Oh, okay. And that's when you were protesting the Dixie Chicks after they came out against the Iraq War.
Why would that break a record?
You broke their record that you
had. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't Guinness certified because they have a rule about the fact that a model rocket and a real rocket can't be distinguished, so they have no category for largest model rocket launched.
I see.
But as far as amateurs online keeping track, I did at one point, along with all the other interns at United Launch Alliance, launch the largest model rocket that had been launched to date in, like, 2016.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I didn't think you were going to come with a real story.
What can I say, Adrian? I've broken a record.
Hey, okay.
Yeah.
Now, when you say you launched this rocket, yeah. Like, you pressed the button? You turned one of the keys?
No, I was on the team.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to take credit for it, but it was mostly me.
What part did you code?
Yeah, I showed up for, like, the build days and basically did what I was told, like, drilled holes in parts that I was told to drill holes in and put together and stuff.
Oh, I didn't think. I thought you were always a coding boy. I didn't realize you were mechanically inclined like that.
It's really kind of what they, like, I don't think the coding was that much. Like, you really kind of ignite the fuel and let it go.
Okay.
There wasn't a lot of, like, onboard. I guess there were some microcontrollers because there was also, like, high school students got to put projects in it that were then deployed. Mm-hmm. I think most of them put, like, cameras or stuff, but they were allowed to put any projects. So there was, like, a controller for when it got to, like, max altitude to push out all the little, like, high school capsules.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And that was manned or unmanned?
Unmanned. You could fit in it, but it was about the circumference that a human could crawl through it.
Okay, that's cool. Well, that's more than I think I've ever done to break a record, so.
Yeah, you've never broken a record?
I had perfect attendance for, I think, like half a year of middle school.
I don't think that's a record.
I think I was close, though. Youngest Guatemalan to publish a B paper.
Really? Oh, cool.
I don't think that's true. No, I don't think I got anything.
What do you think, like, what have you done before and you've gone, you know, if I spent my time working on this, like, I could get the record for it. Like, have you ever, like, been bouncing a ping pong on a paddle and been like, yeah, if I set my mind to it, I could do it, and you've Googled to check how much it was?
Probably, like, on a bored summer day as a kid. I think the most recent one of those that I've heard about was the QI sub podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish. I think they mentioned breaking a record, and it was one of those ones where it was like two people passing a ball back and forth, like on Friends or whatever. Like, they went and broke that record because it was like highly attainable. Someone else broke it like the week after they did.
I think the depressing thing about all those records is that they're all really endurance based. Like, no matter what, it stops being a thing of skill and becomes a thing of like, how do we manage that we both need to use the bathroom, need to get some rest eventually? Like, how do we try to manage and work around those factors?
Mm-hmm. And that's the game.
That's the game. I remember watching George Watsky rap on Twitch for 24
hours.
Yeah. Oof. So stupid. It kind of made me upset. Like, if it wasn't for charity, which is the only thing that makes it excusable, I would like really hate that.
How often does he have to switch up his flow while he's doing that?
I mean, I skipped around. It honestly didn't ever become as lazy as I expected to. I was like, if I go to 8 hours in, he must be rapping like, and I'm looking at my TV, and now I'm looking at my shoes. Damn, I wish I wasn't looking at my shoes. I wish I was back looking at my TV. But it never got that lazy. So
you don't think he did the thing that Tim Heidecker did, and he just filmed 1 hour and then looped it 9 times? I do have the sketch that I wrote with Phil that we performed at Gardner's Outpost, where it's a badass comedian breaking the world record for most number of hecklers destroyed in a 5-minute set. That's a fun skit to do. I play the Guinness World Records adjudicator in it.
Oh, okay, and?
And that's what I do. I play that character.
What's your character? Is he worried about the fairness of
flatbacks? Yeah, like the first bit is that I'm like up there like measuring the stage and stuff, like making sure it's all official regulation. And then the other part of the character that gets fun is like, I talk about being a neutral arbiter, and then as soon as Phil starts like destroying hecklers, I'm like, fuck yeah, get him, Phil. Or I guess his name's Drew in the sketch.
I get why the clickbait works, why people write it, because I do click on them sometimes. I'm like, okay, I want to see how this goes between this comedian and heckler. Be like, comedian fucking destroys fucking heckler, skull fucked to death by comedian.
I always go back to that Michael Richards one.
And when you click on them sometimes, and it's like not that good a clapback, and you're like, oh. Why would you feel confident enough to post this with that title?
It's like, oh, I'm not allowed to make fun of parents for being bad parents because I'm not a parent. Well, I can look at a guy crashing a helicopter into a tree and say, hey, that guy's a bad helicopter pilot. I don't have to be a helicopter pilot. That was one of Steven Hofstadter's famous clapbacks to a heckler.
Oh, my God. You, like, click on it, and it's just, like, some drunk girl, and it's just a white guy screaming at her, you dumb bitch! It's like, yeah, wow, great, you got destroyed.
So that's the closest I've been to breaking a world record.
I remember Hannibal Buress talking about, it sounded like he couldn't say it because he was on the promotion for the movie Tag.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was discussing it with John Hamm on the episode of his podcast. They can't remember where he was talking about it. But they did the largest game of tag.
Yeah.
They broke that record for the Guinness Book of World Records as promotion for that movie. And you could tell while he was discussing it, he was still in promotion mode for the movie. So he wasn't willing to say, what a bunch of dumb bullshit. I hated every second of that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's so clearly what he was feeling on the inside. He was so angry. They made him go spend his like day out.
Yeah.
Like he was like roasting the Guinness adjudicator.
I don't You know, this is one of those things where you don't, it's not something you can tell about a person. I don't think I know anyone who watched that movie.
Me either, man.
It's so weird to think about.
I think I was a target demographic. I like movies that are bad in that kind of way, like the moron.
Yeah, I like some
comedians.
Of those actors in that. Yeah, because it was what? Nicholas Johnson, John Hamm, Hannibal Buress?
Yeah. But it really, oh wait. God, the marketing campaign was so bad. It makes sense that whatever people came out with that trailer decided it was a good idea for them to do the world's largest game of tag. The marketing for that movie was so fucked up.
I'm pretty sure I just made up the name of the guy who plays Nick on New Girl, but whatever that guy's name is. Jake Johnson? Something like that.
Oh my God. Johnson is close enough that now I'm screwed up. It's
Jake Johansson. Are you going to look it up? Look it up, Scotty. Okay, all right. You know, this is what the Guinness World Record book was made to solve, was two guys having a couple drinks talking about crazy things and not being able to look up the answer. They used to just chat the day away just talking about what they think the person with the longest nails has lengthwise. Where in your life have you encountered Guinness World Record books?
Scholastic Book Fair. It's always had them.
Okay, yeah. I don't think I was ever in my rotation.
And I remember one time in middle school, the Scholastic Book Fair had the Guinness Book of World Records. And I found the page with the woman with the biggest bazongas. You know what I'm talking about?
Come on now.
Hachi chachi. And I showed it to our mutual friend, Hunter.
Well, he's a guy who has an appreciation for that.
Like, I opened it to that page, thought it was funny, kind of elbowed him like, hey, man, look at this. And I thought we were going to look at it for a second and flip the page. Nah, he like grabbed the book from me and stared at it entranced. It like literally would not leave. It was very, yeah. I was like, man, you've really taken the fun out of this, like, elbowing my boy bit. Like,
yeah.
Now I'm like, do you need a room? Like, do you want to take it to the bathroom? I don't know what to do now.
No, that kid did like that a lot. I think it was one of those things where I remember my dentist had highlights, but I think my optometrist had a Guinness World Record book. And that was always a fun time to just go through while you're waiting in the waiting room.
For a second I was like, why is he talking about her hair? But it's like a series of like activity books. What are highlights?
It's a magazine. They usually have like the find the six things that are different between these two pictures, word searches, bullshit like that.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, Guinness World Record books were really fun as a kid.
Yeah, I assume it's all online now. I don't know how much like they're actually making off of I guess just selling books to libraries, I guess. But
Guinness World Record books were really my first exposure to the concept of body horror.
There were, I think the guy who was the most tattooed or whatever, I think he always freaked me out a little bit as a kid.
Yeah, same with like the most pierced and stuff. I hated seeing those pictures.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really like the long nails either.
No, yeah, that was nasty.
Yeah. Any other ones that stand out to you from
childhood?
I don't know. Was there a TV show? Is Ripley's Believe It or Not related to Guinness World Record book?
That was another one that had kind of gross people on it.
Yeah. Who the fuck is Ripley? That's all I'm asking.
I don't know. It sounds like a rude dude, though, right? Like,
why are they testing the limits of my incredulousness?
Okay.
We only really talked about individual world records. We didn't talk about the ones where you can break a world record by having 1,000 people jump at the same time or whatever.
Or by creating the nastiest.
It's really just party planning.
I guess that's kind of like tag. But the other subcategory of world records is creating the nastiest undercooked piece of massive food.
Oh, yeah. That's more like a village thing, or like it's like a town gets together to do that.
But I mean, it's like with pizza, it's like, oh, why are you like, I get it's cute and it's like good for tourism or whatever it is good for. But like, what a waste of all those ingredients.
What are you talking about? The fame's eternal until the next town makes a big old pizza pie.
And then the only way to cook is like they have like to run through with like hair dryers or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know.
So you're saying you're not ordering that when you go there? When you go to Vincenzo's? Is that part of it for food stuff, is that it has to be eaten?
I don't know if it has to be eaten immediately, but I do know, like, last time I read one about a pizza, is that the Guinness people don't let you make it, like, in parts and just kind of, like, push it all together. Like, it has to be all cooked as one part, as one thing, which is why they have to come up with stupid ways of cooking it.
Oh, I don't understand why they get to make these rules.
Yeah, Who put Guinness in charge?
Why is there not a competitor? A competing world record authentication service.
Maybe there is if we just need to Google it and become oddly loyal to them in our attempt, in our weird, like, Android guy attempt to make the number two thing happen.
Yeah, we could. The Stella Artois record book.
The next time somebody brings up Guinness, could do like that thing where it's like you're like you smugly are like, oh, you still. Yeah, no, Guinness is like, it's really not the best.
Yeah. Have you not really seen the John Oliver segment about it? They're kind of problematic.
Oh my gosh.
That is part of the Wikipedia page that I read about for Guinness World Records. Is John Oliver did do a 15-minute think piece on him.
And?
His criticism was something about, like, authoritarian regimes and Guinness, like, letting them do publicity stunts or whatever. I don't know. It was a long time ago that episode aired.
Most people set to the gulag in one day.
Yeah, exactly.
Most journalists silence.
And then I think there was something about how behind the scenes he was going to do something with Guinness, but they wanted to do a no disparagement clause and he wouldn't do it.
Oh, whoa. Wow, so to get a Guinness Book of World Records record, you can't disparage Guinness?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty shady. We really do gotta find the number two competitor and become smug about liking them.
That's all I'm saying.
They're based out of Belgium, right? That's where Guinness...
Do you want to retract that statement?
Is it Germany?
No, it's Irish.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
You're freezing. That feels like such basic knowledge.
I mean, now that you mentioned it, I do know that. I just wasn't thinking very hard about it.
Well, when you think about it.
It's funny to me to imagine this, like, mean Irish man showing up to Atlanta to watch a bunch of adults play tag and yelling at Hannibal Buress that he's not running fast enough for it to count as a record.
Do you think it's still a national corporation? the world record subsection of Guinness? That would be a cool gig, just going around verifying shit.
Honestly, I don't think it would be a cool gig. I feel like you'd meet the most obnoxious people in the world who are like, oh yes, I fit the most ping pong balls up my anus.
That's probably true. You know, to be like, sir, that's not one of the ones that we're keeping track of. But you get to travel.
On their website, while I was trying to look for articles, that there was one for, like, person who made it to the most NFL stadiums in the shortest amount of times. And I'm like, okay, at what point is what you're going for so arbitrary and nobody else would think to do it that, like...
Yeah. That's just time and money, right?
Yeah.
That's all you need to break that one. You were complaining about earlier about some of these kind of seem like, yeah.
That just means, like, oh, she had a well-planned road trip. Like, that's a record with... stadiums as the arbitrary points to reach on the road trip.
That's
I guess it's as good as any, but like...
Yeah. Anything else? Tallest man? Shortest woman?
Tallest man, shortest woman. How is the existence of non-gender conforming people messed with their records?
Ooh, that is true. Tallest and tallest NB?
Yeah, do they have to add a third category for all of these for non-gender conforming?
Probably a fourth and a fifth. There's probably like... tallest gender non-confirming he they,
and then
and then just one for they them, and then just one for she they, and then just one for zay.
It seems like it could get kind of out of hand.
It's already out of hand. Have you seen the other records?
Okay, you're right. It just seems like every record is gonna need a table next to it. Every
I don't think all of them are gendered. Yeah, I'll say I don't think all of them are gendered. Biggest Splash Mob. Do you think that one's still alive?
Oh my god. It was probably like one of those things where that record was being beat every other day between 2006 and 2012, and not since then.
No one's touched it. Really, just a relic of the past.
Most seconds planked.
You know, Phil was on that one.
What is it where you grab the ice cream cone by the ice cream? Most cones coned.
Yeah.
Most cones coned in a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was I going to say? I don't know. I think that's enough. Do you want to get into articles?
Yeah. So, Adrian, do you remember once before when I brought in Marlon Vos Savant?
Yeah. She was the lady that no one believed was right about the door problem.
Yes. And she actually had an advice column because she was in the Guinness Book of World Records. That's,
Yeah.
Her claim to fame. and why she changed her name to Val Savant, because she has a Guinness Book of World Record for highest IQ ever measured.
Mm.
So Marlon Val Savant has an advice column called Ask Marlon.
Why are you calling her a fish? I think it's just Marilyn.
Marilyn. I don't know. The text was really small on the screen. Ask Marilyn.
Okay.
I was like, Marlon doesn't sound right.
That's the dad from Finding Nemo.
Ask Marilyn. And the question is, how do I break the ice with intelligent women? I am attracted to highly intelligent women, but I find it hard to break the ice with them. What do you think is a good way to approach them? Mm. Who better to ask this question to than the woman with the highest measured IQ of any person alive?
If you can woo her, you can woo anybody.
Yeah. Do you think that's his in, since he's attracted to highly intelligent women? Mm.
You think this is his way of doing it? He's actually just being real smooth right now?
Yeah, yeah, he's shooting the shot with Marilyn.
Okay, yeah. That's a good meet cute. But I find it hard to break the ice with them. What do you think is a good way to approach them? Oh, I know this one.
Go ahead.
You go up to them and you tell them you want to taste their belly button from the inside.
Hachi chachi. You go to grad school, you're getting a PhD.
Yeah.
What are the meet cutes for the people in your life? For the highly intelligent women that you know?
Bumble, Tinder, Hinge.
Oh, I thought Pierce and Nicole met IRL.
Oh, I mean, they're not a grad school couple, though.
But she's a highly intelligent woman. How did Pierce pull that, you know, with his Dumbo brain?
They worked at the same medical software company, and she pursued him. I think we talked about that in her episode. And then they just stuck together, and I think they were a good couple. And even though Nicole was worried that he was going to leave her for an alt cutie, he stuck around.
And what other women are in your group? How'd they meet their partners?
Emily and Ryan both dated their junior specialists.
So get a job as a junior specialist is your advice?
Yeah, and then date the PhD student that you work under. And that you work under.
Come on now.
Come on now. Who else? I think all the other ones are college sweethearts or like Bumble Hinge people. What other PhD couples do I know?
You see, the problem, I can't really answer this. I don't know any smart women.
What?
Sorry, I just wanted to attack everybody in my life.
I'm about to say, you know some very intelligent people. I've met your friends.
What?
I've met your friends. They're some very intelligent people. I would say, you know, maybe a little bit more hardworking than intelligence. You know, sometimes it's about putting in the effort. It's not always about natural ability, you know?
Well, this guy doesn't want a hardworking woman, Adrian. He wants a highly intelligent woman.
Yeah, okay. Get on Jeopardy so you can hit on the Big Bang Theory lady. Although she's on Solidarity right now with the strike.
Oh, good for
her. But once the strike is over, yeah. Get on Jeopardy so you can hit on her the entire time. Don't even try and make money. Don't even try and get any of the answers right. Just hit on her every time you come in for an answer.
What is your number?
Come on now. Okay. Breaking the ice with intelligent women. I don't know. Intelligent women are just like regular women, right? You know, you just you use a pickup line, or maybe not always the best thing to do, but you could do like a hey. What do people?
Yeah. What
do to
is
pick
this
up people?
Guy expecting? Like you're gonna give her an equation, and it's gonna like work out to like you are equal QT or something, and she's gonna be like, "Whoa, that was intelligent. Ooh. That was an intelligent way of getting my attention."
Mm-hmm.
You are equals QT pi.
You can't always assume that they're a mathy intelligent person, though. What if they're like a history person? Then you reference either something from World War II or ancient Europe.
Ancient Europe. Yes, that famous empire of ancient Europe.
Yeah.
I'm calling it now. That's as embarrassing as saying Guinness is from Belgium.
Okay, yeah. We always have to make sure
It's even now.
We've evened up. What do you think Miss Savant is gonna say? And is there a Mr. Savant?
I don't know, but this is an interesting question to take, right? Because it's like you're basically just saying, how would I want somebody to hit on me, right? She's famously the most intelligent person.
Well, how do you like to be hit on as an intelligent man? My favorite is when a person looks me up and down and says, how you doing?
Adrian, I'm taken.
Oh, okay, right. So you're that's why you had the silence. You were like, that's what I want, is nobody coming up and talking to me.
Yep. You know how, like, with a normal girl, you'd walk up to her and, like, slap her in the titties and go, nice pair you got there, babe? With a smart girl, you go up and you tap her on the temple and you're like, nice noggin you got there, babe.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. You just kind of transfer one for the other.
Okay. I like that. I co-sign that. Ask her what podcast she's listening to these days. Smart women always listen to podcasts.
This is an intelligent woman. Ask her what books she's listening to these days on audiobook.
Okay. I feel like this is a common trope on sitcoms. What have people done in sitcoms where a dumb guy is trying to woo a smart woman? I guess those sitcom premises do also make the assumption that you have to do things differently for an intelligent person.
Yeah, which, I mean, obviously this question is stupid.
The usual moral is just treat like normal people?
Yeah.
All right, do you want to hear this answer?
Yeah.
Cool, let's wrap up this half cute, nice and twink.
Judging from my experience with intelligent women, I recommend telling them outright that you find their intelligence appealing. This is a nice compliment and has the benefit of being true, which is not always the case with compliments. It implies that you are also quite intelligent, which you probably are. If you were not, you would often find very intelligent women, no matter how pleasant and personable they are, intimidating or bothersome instead.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
What was the article that she linked with nice compliment? 100 best compliments to make someone's day. Nice things to say from Parade magazine. Okay, she's got her sources. All right, you want to move on to my article?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, are you going to freshen up your energy drink or?
I'm good.
All right, well, I'm going to freshen up my drink.
Oh, okay, I'll go then.
I don't know how hard it was for you to find a column, but I also had a little bit of trouble finding something with an actual world record, so I kind of went the same route as you on a kind of like intelligence-based thing.
Dude, you want to know what else I tried? I tried to do sports questions about who the GOAT is, and I was already like, that's kind of flexing it. Like, is somebody being a GOAT the same as the greatest of all time? Is that same as world record? But then they were also boring, so that's why.
Thank you for breaking down that acronym. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I tried a couple of things. I tried to do this. I ended up doing world record advice column parent, and that's how I found this one. This is, I'm pretty sure my 5-year-old is actually a genius. Trust me, I know how it sounds. This is Allison Price over at Karen Feeding from Slate. Here we go. Dear Karen Feeding, I don't know how to put this any other way, but we're pretty sure our 5-year-old is a genius. I know every parent says that, and they're probably right, but our son seems very much like he's the inspiration for young Sheldon. He can add, subtract, multiply, find squares, find factors, etc. He can read multisyllabic words and complex texts. He's due to start kindergarten in the fall, but he's really way past it already. We can't afford private school and we both work, so homeschooling is not an option. Our local district has no gifted program to speak of, although the principal said that they can differentiate. How do you do that in kindergarten when fractions aren't part of the kindergarten curriculum? We're at a loss as to how we can help him without spending loads of money on enrichment to make up for the fact that his school can't do much for him beyond socialization. Although, that's not nothing, of course. Any guidance on how to help him reach his potential without breaking the bank? From Confused Mary Cooper. Do you get the Mary Cooper reference?
No.
It was an English publisher and bookseller based in London who flourished between 1743 and 1761. The earliest publisher of children's books in English. That's a niche reference. Apparently, parents are pretty smart too.
So there are these games that you can get on the computer.
To keep your kids sharp over the summer?
Keep your kids sharp over the summer.
Mm-hmm. Did you always get those? Have we talked about this?
I think like once or twice. They weren't like,
I think I played my neighbors once or twice, yeah. Or maybe they didn't get those because they didn't go to public school. Maybe I just got them one year. It was like one of those things where the game was very much like, hey, you need to add to 9. Here are numbers falling down the screen. Click the numbers that add up to 9.
Yeah, in pairs.
Or whatever, yeah.
Honestly, I don't know what you're supposed to do in this situation.
It's
not like...
What media am I thinking of where it's I think they're black parents with a gifted child. Oh, it's Atlanta. That's where the one where they have the teacher in the public school is like, you gotta get this kid out of here if you want her to thrive. She's too smart for this place.
I honestly thought you were about to say Urkel. Okay.
Hey, come on now. Okay. So, Paul, what would you do if your child was gifted? Which, you know, this might happen to you. You and Izzy might have the right genetic mix to make a superstar child.
Wait, are you deciding? What a crazy thing for you to feel like you can announce on pod.
What?
Just the idea that I'm going to have a child with Izzy.
I don't know, you could. I know you don't use protection.
Nah, you know any kid I have has to be a jock.
Right. I'm going to live vicariously through that kid.
Yeah.
Is your kid eligible for the Lebanese national team? Or
maybe. Honestly, I might be able to get any kid I have, like, citizenship.
It depends on the rules per country, yeah. I mean, some people do make it onto a team based on grandparents.
Lebanon's also one of those countries, like, I can vote in Lebanon despite never having lived there because they really want, yeah.
Even though your county is gerrymandered?
Lebanese people I know and my mom, it's like you go to Atlanta to vote in the Lebanese elections.
Hmm.
The reason is that they, like, the expats are mostly Christians and the Christians really wanna.
And do they have the power? Like, they have enough power to, like, make it so that that's the status quo?
Yeah.
Mm. So, like, are your parents voting for Lebanese Republicans or Democrats?
I'm not gonna lie to you, Adrian does not map onto that at all.
It's the only way I can understand politics.
One of the few countries that it doesn't map perfectly onto American politics.
That's confusing.
But yeah, I could vote too, but I always kind of felt like I wouldn't.
Make a trip out of it. Go to Atlanta, go to the Trap Museum, and then go vote. Do your civic duty.
Seems like one of those things where they're all so shitty, I would be a bad person for voting for any of them.
You think that would ruin your street cred in the DSA?
I mean, there is a communist party, but I don't think they've won seats in decades. And the Socialist Party in Lebanon is not socialist at all. It's just a Druze-based religious party. They're called the Progressive Socialist Party, but they're a Druze-majority political party run by the Jumblat family. You're listening to Talking Lebanon Politics Cast.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
Our already abysmal numbers are cratering in real time.
In Guatemala, we elected a comedian as a president a few cycles back.
Hey, I mean, it worked out for Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did the opposite of work out in a horrible war right now.
Tell you what.
But people think he's doing a good job in that horrible war. Can we talk about what a funny name Walid Jumblat is?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Was that the full name of Walid who we went to high school with?
We went to high school with a kid named Walid?
Yeah, Walid. Does that make it more clear?
Okay, can you explain to me how he was, like, how many degrees of separation? Can you explain to me who he was through the context of Gay Tony?
I don't think him and Gay Tony knew each other.
Ooh.
I knew of him because we were in theater together, and so he was, I think, a year or two above us. He also worked at Publix, but the old one, not the new one. And also, I think he was a rapper, too.
And I feel like the only other Arab kid I knew at our school was this kid, Pierre, who was really cool, but so obviously, well, maybe he wasn't closeted. Maybe he was open to his friends, but to me, but he seemed like a very obviously gay man, and I never knew. I guess I was always curious. Pierre. You didn't know Pierre? Yeah.
We had a kid in our school named Pierre.
Yeah, he was a year above us, I think.
Oui.
He was in one of my classes. Cool kid.
Have you said anything about what to do about your special child? Oh, speaking of high school, should you do what the talented kid in our high school did and have your parents, like, buy you the materials to make, like, a nuclear fusion thing in your basement?
That was the most confusing thing ever. I kind of wish with my modern mind where I understand these things better, I could reobserve what was going on there. What he invented?
You think,
like,
it was just a Fisher-Price thing?
He invented, like, a glowing blue orb. It was so confusing. What did he make? Was it dangerous? Should we have been worried? What was going on?
No, I don't think he was on the, a watch list or anything.
But he kept calling it, like, a nuclear something device, and I was like, this sounds, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was, like, glowing, and he kept talking about making it out. His marketing on that was great. He made it sound like he was an evil genius, like, pulling stuff out of the trash and building, like, some futuristic super device.
No, yeah, I never really talked to that guy that much, so I didn't really hear too much about it, but I just kind of knew of it.
Yeah, I have to assume it wasn't actually that impressive, right? Because he didn't get into his number one college.
He didn't get into MIT, but he got into Stanford or Caltech, and then I think he's a grad student at Stanford.
And we had that one friend who was, like, fucking on his knees for him constantly.
Yeah, we had a dick rider.
We did have a friend who was a real dick rider for him because he thought the glowing blue orb was really cool.
Oh, I thought he just thought proximity to intelligence made him intelligent.
Oh, yeah, I think that was more it, but Sasuke Uchiwa.
Shout out Sasuke Uchiwa. Also another closeted person from our school. I don't know if he came out in high school or not.
Sasuke?
No, Ben.
I was like, what a story. I didn't know about this. Does his wife know?
Nah, that, you know, that kid's super straight.
Oh, that TikTok problematic thing where it was like super straight, where it's, you don't like trans people.
Can we get back to this question? Are we ever going to answer this question? I've never been one to not let us derail, but like, we gotta help this kid out, man. This is this kid's future.
I've never watched Young Sheldon. I think that might be holding me back from coming up with an answer.
That's what's holding you back?
Yeah, what do they do in that show? Copy them.
Oh, I think, you know, I'm really taking a stab in the dark here. I thought the premise of the show was that his mom was deeply religious and they were in a like conservative household and they didn't really do anything to like help him flourish as a little genius.
And look at him, he still grew up to be old Sheldon. You don't gotta do anything.
Well, I mean, it was kind of predestined. He was called young Sheldon.
Yeah, but he grew up to be old Sheldon who was a genius who did really well at his field.
Mm.
So what I'm saying is if you want this kid to grow up to be a genius, you don't gotta do anything, apparently, if you believe in the young Sheldon model of parenting.
Yeah, the famous young Sheldon model of parenting.
Well, maybe if we had a childhood psychologist on this episode, they would be able to tell us if that was actually a famous theory. And
honestly, could be. So,
I mean, there's been more dubious ways people have come up with
theories. Well, to me, it's also just like, sometimes there are things like, I think Justin was once explaining to me what cognitive behavioral therapy was and why he didn't agree with the model. But he was like, yeah, at its base, the model is that like, your thoughts affect your actions and your actions affect your thoughts. And I was like, someone wrote a paper about that as a model? Like, come on.
Wait, so how he doesn't agree with that? If that's how you describe something at its base, I feel like you do have to agree with it. That seems almost...
No, I think this is pretty common in academia where like the idea is so simple that it almost has to be true. But whether or not it's really the best way to go about therapy or whatever is
contentious.
It's like the response threshold model in social insects. I remember that my advisor being like, it's so simple, it has to obviously be true, but like whether or not you actually think it's what structures insect societies is dubious.
Like is it the paradigm to look through it for a greater understanding?
Yeah, you get it. So what are we doing with this kid? I'm really worried about this kid, man.
Adrian, you give him advice. I don't know. These parents sound like they have a tough life. They can't spend all their resources making this kid a genius. Maybe your kid doesn't have to be a genius. Let him be a normal kid. What? You want him to get into MIT when he's 14 and be miserable around a bunch of older people he can't relate to?
Dude, what is that college experience for those kids?
Yeah. Fuck off. Let him be really smart for his age and just go to school at his age level.
Hmm. Did you know any kids in school who like skipped grades or skipped multiple grades?
That kid Alan Zhao I know was like had skipped some grades.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, that's why he was so tiny. He was much younger than us.
I thought he was just a little wee lad. He's also such a controversial opinion. That guy was an asshole, though, and it took so long for other people to find out about that. They're like, oh, he's a cute little kid. What are you talking about? And I'm like, no, he's a fucking asshole. Have you talked to him?
To be fair.
He hates all of you, just so you know.
That was very funny. People did, like, kind of treat him like a pet, and it was like, yeah, but he... If you actually talk to him, he's, like, very openly antagonistic. Like, he thinks everybody else is a stupid asshole, and he will tell you to your face.
All I'm saying is, at least I didn't cheat on the SAT, you know what I mean?
Wait, he cheated on the SAT?
Yeah, the proctor found him going back to previous sections because he didn't finish or whatever.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
What happens in that case?
I think that score is invalidated. I have no idea what it means in terms of, like, academic honesty going forward or whatever, but yeah. I think my sister had some friends who were, like, people who skipped a grade, but I think, to me, it always felt like skipping one grade was, like, pretty within the realm of possibility for most people if they really wanted to.
Yeah. I never remember being that impressed by it.
The other thing is that, because I worked at Trader Joe's, for some reason, Trader Joe's is, like, a light for a moth for attracting homeschooled weirdos. So, yeah, I worked with a lot of people who were homeschooled, and You know, the parents are clearly very self-aware about the fact that the socialization is also important, so at least that's good. Maybe that'll be part of how you can convince them that he should just stick around with his age group, at least more or less. You know, don't let him go to college at 14 or whatever. Whether or not this kid even is smart enough to do that, I mean, really, how often is that,
yeah,
is that the case? Which, they also seem self-aware about that. Although, if he's finding factors at 5 years old, that's
no, it's pretty mathematical. No, I mean, he does sound like a genius. They're proof, at least if they're observing it correctly. Like,
do you think they're idiots and they just don't know the answer? And so they think he's getting it right?
He's like, they're like, son, what's 53 times 26? And he's like, 1,087. And they're, honey, should we? I'm sure that's right.
The square of 3 is 6 because it's 2 3s. And they're like, yeah, that sounds right. This kid's a genius.
Kid's a genius.
Oh, you know what's another funny thing? Did I ever tell you that for the YouTube channel that I still am technically a part of, but I don't really know what the direction it's going in right now is? Science Outreach channel. One of my friends was complaining about the fact that a series that they were working on was the women in the group coming up with a video series about being a genius. And she was like, I don't want to be a genius. I just want to be a regular genius. And I was like, no, yeah, I get it. That does feel very tokenizing.
I don't want to be a genius, man.
She was like, I don't want to be a genius, man. It hurt. I want to be a genius.
I kind of want to be a genius. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, you're a fucking himbo genius, you know? That's a rare combo. I don't know why they think that you have to, you need money to get your kid into. I mean, I don't know. We had Eagles. We had certain things. I guess they said they don't have anything like that. But, you know, you could probably get him into something. I don't know. Pair him up with a peer mentor from the community.
Yeah. I mean, you guys live right next door to a famous retired MIT professor, right? Just have him strike up a friendship with him. And he's like kind of a grouchy old man, but this kid's love of math kind of reinvigorates something in him.
I was thinking more of like an Aquila and the Bee type thing. Like, he's really good at spelling. Was that a thing where she was a genius, or what was the story behind that? Was she just, I thought she had an aptitude for spelling.
I never watched that.
I just remember the one scene where, this might have been a thing where I caught it on TV and didn't actually watch the whole thing, but there's the scene where he's trying to get her to spell a word, and she's like, what does that mean? And it's like, oh, it's another word for brown. And it's like, why don't you just say brown, then?
Good point.
And I was like, she's got a point. Keela's a smart lady.
Interesting that we both had columns where the world record we were talking about was intelligence.
That's what I was saying when I was talking about bringing it in. It's just really hard to find something for this one.
Yeah.
But this kid might be setting world records. Who knows?
Other than that one kid we talked about who is a prodigy in intelligence or, like, you know, invention or whatever you'd call him, did we have any musical prodigies? Any people who are, like, clearly supposed to go to Juilliard or clearly supposed to...
No, we just
to-
had the one dance prodigy. Oh, we had that one kid who was, like, a prodigy at setting up a fort in the woods to have sex with pregnant women in... I get knocked up. And I get fucked again.
On a mattress in the woods. I get knocked up. Then I get fucked again.
Oh, Danny boy. All right. It doesn't seem like we have much advice. Do you want to hear what Allison has to say? Dear confused Mary Cooper, for now, I would enroll him in kindergarten and be prepared to have conversations, possibly several, with his teacher about his abilities. Oh, no, I don't like that. I don't like going up to the teacher and being like, hey, just so you know, my kid's not one of these fucking schmucks that you're fucking putting down for nap time, all right? He or she might see the gulf between their curriculum and his capabilities and elevate his case to school leadership. At that point, it's possible that they would have more proof and motivation to help you think creatively on behalf of your child. Jumping grades, for example, might be on the table, although it's not a decision to be made lightly since it comes with lots of socialization complications. On the other hand, you and his teacher might find that although his abilities are advanced, the subject matter and peer interactions are enough to keep him engaged and still give him ways to grow. But overall, I think your concerns about differentiation within the classroom are well-founded. There is only so much one teacher can do for 24 kids. In terms of enriching him outside the classroom, I'm afraid the hefty bill might be inevitable. On the plus, side, activities in summer camp are expensive no matter how smart a kid is, and it's still more money than daycare. Jokes aside, Not every enrichment activity has to be super brainy and specialized. Music lessons are a great moderate cost activity that is still heavily mathematical in nature, and local colleges may have summer programs for gifted kids that operate on a sliding scale. Khan Academy might be worth exploring to help your child advance, either within the school classroom or on his own at home. Unlike other online learning platforms, the instruction is self-paced and thus more flexible to the user. If you decide that private school is the answer, the Davidson Institute has a lot of possible scholarship sources on its website. This might be also an opportunity to ask family members whether or not they can chip in for tuition. As we know, it takes a village, and your loved ones might be able to help the boy they love reach his potential.
Really played the field. It was like they were worried that they had to give the most nothing advice of all time. Like, yeah, he could skip grades, but maybe he couldn't?
Yeah, I think the one part that I agree with is that, and as much as I made fun of it, it might be worth getting an actual educator's assessment on whether or not he's actually that advanced or not. But yeah, also, I don't know, it's one of those things where there are costs and benefits, right? Like, it could be that it's better to keep him around kids his age, but also he starts acting delinquent because he's bored at school because he's not being challenged anyway. Or you're going to put him with a bunch of older kids who are going to make fun of him.
But that's exactly, I mean, I guess it gets to the heart of why you can't ask advice from strangers who don't know your life. But, like, that was their question, is, we know this is complicated. What do you think? Yeah. And she was like, complicated, huh? I mean, it's why we didn't offer any advice.
Have you thought about aborting the child?
I'll tell you what, if these demon rats get their way, it'll be legal in all 50 states soon enough.
All right, cool. Do you want to move to the third seggy?
Let's do it.
All right, third segment on the way. This is from the Luxembourg Times. I am on the .lu website for Luxembourg. This is a Culture and Life article from 2012. The stupidest records revealed on Guinness World Records Day. You can set a world record for anything these days, and there are some very honorable and serious records, such as the recent impressive skydiving record set by Felix Baumgartner, to the downright stupid, such as the most Ferrero Rocher eaten in 1 minute. Oh, I'll tell you what, my dad could beat that one. I'll tell you what, he loves those things.
How much was it?
Well, I think that's the question of the day, my friend, is that I'm going to be asking you to guess what the actual numbers are on these wacky world records.
Okay.
So, let's see. Oh, there's only 10. That doesn't seem like a lot. I might have to go find another article, but anyways, let's do this. Okay, Paul, there are 10 stupid world records from this article. How many do you think you can get? We're going to call it, set your parameters for each question, because it's going to be a different output each time.
So. Okay.
All right, so this is a world record for cycling backward with a violin.
On a bicycle? Okay, tell me more about the record, and then I'll guess.
So Christian Adams cycled blank amount of kilometers in... Okay, yeah, so you're looking for the distance, I can tell you the time. Christian Adams cycled blank kilometers in 5 hours and 9 minutes while sitting on the handlebars facing the seat, which has just been converted into a musical stand. The violinist cycled backwards while playing Bach.
You see, this is tough because, you know, I think in miles, not kilometers.
If you can get it in miles, that's fine.
He said he did this across 5 hours?
Mm-hmm. On a converted bike, which seems like cheating.
Does it mention if it's on a track or on real roadways? Did he have to dodge cars?
Navigate?
Or did
no, he... I don't think he had to dodge cars.
Okay. Follow road laws?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. 5 hours. I'm going to say he did 35 kilometers.
All right. If you had said miles, you would have been very close. It was 37 miles, a.k.a. 60 kilometers.
Damn it. I mean, that's what I was thinking in my head. You know, I'm just more familiar with miles.
Okay, all right, all right.
We'll call this one wrong, though. Fair enough.
All right.
I think that's close enough.
Paul, this is most snails on a face. Finn Kerler, age 11, of Sandy, Utah, covered his face with blank live snails. Apparently, this broke a previous record.
Ooh, snails can be really tiny. They can be, like, smaller than, like, a millimeter. Like, they can be about, like, a millimeter, this, right?
This one is pictured in the article, and I will let you know they're not tiny snails. They're, like, they're pretty, they're big boys.
Oh, that sounds so nasty. I hate that for you that you have to look at this picture.
Yeah, he meant like that big.
Are they all touching his face or can they be stacked on each other?
I think they're all on his face. There are a couple that are like in the tray that he's holding, so I guess those don't count, and there are a couple on his neck.
Okay, I'm gonna say between 40 and 60. Is that too wide a margin? Like, how big can I make my margin on this one?
However big you want to make it.
Between 0 and 1 million.
Okay, 1 point on the board, Polly Boy.
Oh, okay, I don't want to win like that. I take it back, 40 to 60.
All right, it was 43.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, nice.
Yeah, could have narrowed up a little bit. All right. Most eggs crushed with the head in 1 minute. This was Ashrita Furman. They crushed blank number of eggs on their head.
Did they just have to throw them, or did they have to... I'm imagining, if you have the buckets...
Imagine head down, smashing into the eggs, I think.
Oh, head smashing into the eggs, like on a table?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I imagine you could do more than one a second, especially if you're going for a record and you had them lined up on a table and you were just...
Mm-hmm.
Could you smash more than one in one movement, or would you be allowed to like smash your head into 5 eggs?
I don't think you're allowed to take a dozen and just smash them on your forehead, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but could if there was like a dozen held closely in the table, could you smash your head into all of them and just kind of roll around in it?
This one doesn't have a picture, but I'm going to assume that they probably did them about one at a time.
Okay.
Maybe two at a time.
I'm going to say 70 to 90.
70 to 90.
High. I feel like I went high.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, sure. 70 to 90 eggs.
All right. The answer is 80.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, Polly Boy. Okay, so this is one of the ones that I mentioned at the beginning that I think are kind of stupid, but this is most people brushing their teeth simultaneously. I mean, this record probably gets broken every day just by happenstance. Like, I don't know.
It's 8 o'clock in America, boys, and 1 million people are brushing their teeth.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Okay, so blank number of students brush their teeth for about 3 minutes. That's more than the dentist recommends. In Manila, Philippines.
One of the most famously compact cities, as far as population goes. Okay, and were they all in the same room? Like, were they all in a, like, they had to be in an airplane hangar? Or was it like they all were allowed to be at their house just promising that they were brushing?
It must have been in a town square or something.
Okay. Manila is so dense. I really don't know how I would even begin to guess this. I'll go with like...
I wouldn't get this.
I'm going to go with they did it at a sporting event in a big stadium and just had little toothbrushes under everybody's seat like right before a soccer game.
Oh, they Oprah'd it.
So I'm going to go and I bet you could get like 8,000 people to reliably agree to do that in a place that maybe seats like 10,000, like a stadium. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with 8,000. I'll give myself like 500, 8 to 9,000. No, I'll go below 7 to 8,000.
7 to 8,000. Okay. You did mention a number that was pretty close. This is 10,800.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of Filipinos. Come on now. okay. This one is... Oh, God, some of these names are hard to pronounce. Okay, this one's not that hard. This is largest collection of sick bags over 40 years. Niek Vermeulen collected a staggering blank number of sick bags. You know, the kind that you get in your seat for an airplane. The bags are from 1,142 airlines and 160 countries. Thankfully, the bags have not been used. I feel like he's breaking records for number of airplane trips and, like, countries visited.
Wait, 1,400 different airlines? I didn't even know there were that many airline companies in the world.
1,142 airlines, yeah.
So it has to be more than that, because he's probably grabbing his neighbor's sick bag and... This is so weird. Why is this his obsession?
I don't know.
It's kind of disgusting. It seems fetishistic. I don't like it.
I mean, it seems like something like matchsticks, right? You know, like how it used to be a thing that if you went to a fancy steakhouse, they'd always have their, like, branded matchsticks. Like, it seems like that. It seems like you go somewhere, you take something, it's just small to keep.
Where does he keep them?
You know how we all have one of those, like, plastic bags that's filled with other plastic bags that we swear we're going to recycle one day?
I don't know. I'll go with 4,000 to 5,000.
Ooh, Paul. This is 6,016.
God damn it. I'm going a little
too
low.
Far off.
I'm not believing in these records.
These are world records, my friend. You gotta remember that.
Oh yeah, do you think there's some loser out there with 4,000 bags who's like, how do I get 2,000 more?
Probably. Longest ear hair.
Ew.
Radhakant Bajpai from India set the record for longest ear hair growing from the center of the ear in 2003. Wow. His longest hair was blank centimeters.
Like, it's going to be something that upsets me, like 3 feet.
Do you want me to convert this into inches?
I was going to say 3 feet, so that would be 36. That'd be 36 inches, which I guess could be converted into how many centimeters?
I have the calculation for the answer up. I don't have the calculation for the, but if you want to do inches, you can do inches.
Okay, 36. I'll go between 35 and 45 inches.
35 and 45 inches?
Yeah.
Okay. This is 5.2 inches. Oh. It's not nearly as disgusting as you thought it was going to be. He was not able to just wrap this around his neck like a scarf.
I thought it was like one of those things where it was like basically just growing with his hair, and it was just like going to be down to his waist with the rest of his head hair.
I guess so. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think this was it was somewhat reasonable. I don't know. So crazy for an ear hair. I don't know what it means, center of his ear. I don't know what that means.
Do you think he just didn't have access to a pair of scissors, and if we got him one, he would cut it?
Probably, yeah. He's probably very embarrassed by it. Okay. Largest Smurf meeting ever. On June 8th, 2009, blank number of students from Swansea University, UK, got together, dressed up as Smurfs, and stood around in a square.
See, this one is so different, because for the toothbrushing one, it's like, I was guessing in the thousands, because it's something...
pretty accessible.
You can just kind of give people toothbrushes and toothpaste, yeah, and like hand out a bunch of like little miniature ones, and kind of get that going. This is not so accessible. Like, the people who are involved have to have access to blue paint, which I guess they could have there in large quantities, but they would have to have, like, overalls, hats, and a hat. Yeah. Like, there's a couple things. Like, you have to ask everybody to bring their own white hat, overalls, stuff like that. So it's a little bit less easy to get into. Plus, it's a college in the UK instead of Manila. So, like, different availability of people to participate.
Oh, but the reason I was thinking about that, too, is I'm surprised that this happened in the UK and not Belgium. That was one of Dorley's takeaways from visiting my brother in Belgium, is that that's where the Smurfs were invented, and apparently they're very proud of that.
I'm going to say 450 people. No, that seems high. But it has to be a fun number for the...
like, you think it's 42069?
I'm going to say 350 to 400.
You can say about 350?
350 to 400.
All right. 2,510. You think they're breaking a world record with 400 people, bruh?
Yeah! Who else is going for that?
Come on now. All right. This is the opposite of me. This is the most married person. Linda Lou Taylor of Indiana holds the record for most marriages. She's been married blank number of times. I don't know the backstory of this, but I can't imagine that this is on purpose or that it's not on purpose. I don't know. Is this, yeah, you know.
18 times.
What's your window? Not that you're close.
And by 18, I meant 30 to 40. Times.
Okay. It was 23 times.
You motherfucker! You said not that you're close! God damn it!
Well, it depends on what your window was. Yeah, plus or minus what?
I hate you.
Alright. You think someone got married 30 times?
That's
so many weddings. That's so expensive.
You made me think that with your deceptive ways.
So we're down to the last two, and I'm down to the comments, and I don't know what's going on in Luxembourg. But out of 101 comments, the number one comment is from Lil Vagina the Rapper. Yo, bitch, built like a dog, I could walk her. I don't know. That's the only comment that shows up. I can hit the read more comments button, but that's just the one. Oh, no, I have to sign up to see more comments. So this is the one free comment they let you see. It's for Lil Vagina the rapper.
Why would they let you see that one? Because you never need to click to see more comments. They need to tease you with something. They can't give you the best comment.
Oh, wait, no, never mind. So you can see the rest of the comments, and the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are from Bitch Bitch. It's just other rap lines, one by one. Oh, and then there's another appearance from Lil Vagina the Rapper. Our bars are so baller. I guess they're probably friends.
You realize that in Luxembourg, the most popular social media site is the top 10 weirdest world records listicle. That's the most popular social media site in all of Luxembourg.
When I rap, they need closed captions, CCs. Got yo bitch in your feelings, like Kiki. We in the Jeep, beep, beep. They want to keep me. I got them VVs, my initials BB.
Dude, we got to get Phil back on the pod for a segment of Phil Does Internet Raps.
Phil Does Internet Raps of the comment section for the Luxembourg Times. Yo bitch always call me, she really a stalker. I make yo bitch skeet, I fuck on yo daughter. We killing this, there's no beat, what are you talking about? We killing this beat, this shit be a slaughter. I got so much money, who wanna offer? What does that mean? Oh, okay. I'm so fucking rich, I don't need no dollars. That don't mean, okay. She begged me for money just like a scam caller.
It is very funny, these people, that they decided that this listicle of the world records
was where they were going to get their bars off.
To show off their bar game.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah, I think that's about it for Bitch Bitch and Lil Vagina the Rapper. Okay, number 9, highest jump by a guinea pig. Can you imagine you ain't got no world records, but a guinea pig does?
Honestly,
the world record for guinea pig high jump belongs to Puckle Martin, who jumped blank centimeters on 16 March 2003. Puckle Martin is owned by Mad Herman of Vargon, Sweden.
I've never seen a guinea pig jump. I assume they can clear their height, but I don't know. Maybe they can't. Maybe they jump like little fools.
I gotta do another inches conversion, but hold on.
In my mind, I don't feel like you need a top to a guinea pig cage if it wasn't, like, they can climb it, but I wouldn't think you'd need a top if it was a smooth wall. Mm. I don't think they're, like, jumping that high. But maybe if you train them to, they can. I'm gonna say 15 to 20 centimatra.
Well, this is 20 centimatra.
Exactly?
Yeah.
Dude,
there you go.
Where's Bitch Bitch to give me some bars for this moment? Because I feel like the fucking man.
Oh, wait. This last one has a video associated with it, so I don't know if I have to watch this. I also don't see where the video is. Okay, so the last one is hardest kick in the groin, but I don't actually see what the record is.
Wait, how do you say measure that? Because you can't measure the kick and have it actually be on a groin at the same time.
Yeah, I don't, hold on, I don't know where that is.
It's like, how do you measure the newtons of force applied while also having it be on a groin?
You know what, I can't find it, so what we're gonna do is I pulled up one more article and we'll do like one or two from that one. I think we're getting pretty close to time. How do you feel like you're doing on this quiz so far?
Honestly, not bad, because even the ones I'm getting wrong, I'm kind of happy that I'm in the I'm in the order of magnitude.
All right. This is Screenshots, 25 Stupid World Records That Nobody Has Bothered to Try and Break with Good Reason. Okay, these are kind of fun. This might be kind of cool. Most number of candles extinguished by farting. You'd imagine that someone who holds a world record would be a hero, right? Well, we aren't judging who y'all choose as your role models to be, but just so you're aware, there's a hero out there who can blow out more candles with their farts than you. Gerard Jesse from the Philippines extinguished the flames of blank candles ablaze. All I can say is, don't give me what he eats. Thanks.
Was this with a single fart or across a time span?
I think this is maybe a single fart, yeah.
You know, I'm surprised. I thought the methane would just make them light up more. I guess I'll say 16 candles as a little bit of an homage to the classic film.
I see. And what's your range?
14 to 20.
All right. It's actually just 5.
Well.
One fart, yeah. You think if you get a real long one off, maybe you could do it. Okay. Apparently the most snails on face really resonated with people, because that's also in this article. But yeah, anyways, so you already know about that one. Apparently he just had to have them on him for 10 seconds, which
I'm not going to lie to you, in one ear out the other. I could guess again, like it was the first time I heard it.
hold on, let's see. Holy shit, pulling an airplane by your body strength. That seems cool, but we're not going to put that one in there. That one's not silly.
Also, it's like one of those things where it's like the tires are down. You know what I mean? How impressive is it really?
Oh, here's the guy who ate an airplane of metal.
I've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
What a freak. Also, what is that? Most amount of airplanes eaten across a lifetime, and it's one?
Most metal eaten. Yeah. Let's see. World's longest fingernails. That's a classic. Man, those are gross. Do not like those. Let's see. What else do we have going on? Okay, this one's near and dear to my heart. The heaviest mantle of bees. If you're one to swat away a bee coming a little too close to your lemonade, imagine having a blank of them covering your entire body. Not to mention, that's about 63 kilos in weight. Ruan Liangming, or should we call him the calmest man alive, did exactly this, inspired by a 19th century carnival act called bee bearding, where performers placed a queen bee on their bodies, thereby attracting thousands of workers to their beard. Cool, cool, cool. And this one has a video, too.
You've told me before that a hive has, like, 100,000 members, right?
Anywhere from, like, 40 to, like, 80,000.
Because I've asked you. In, like, a regular hive. And I assume they're probably doing this with, like, 4 hives, so I'm gonna say... but I guess you probably don't get them all to fly on you. I'm gonna say 120K.
Do you want to do weight, or do you want to do number of bees?
I want to try number of bees. I think 120K.
Okay. The answer is 673,000.
Damn it!
That is a big-ass colony.
Oh, it was only a single colony? I guess you can't put multiple colonies because they would fight?
I think so, but it looks like he's in like an arena with multiple colonies. It's kind of hard to describe. They're actually just pouring bees on him, so at this point I don't really even know.
Like, he's just swimming in bees. They're not really on his body.
Yeah, they're just dumping bees on him, yeah. Also, I like that he has his hair gelled back and slick. All right, let's do one last one. Let's see. Okay, let's do something near and dear to your heart. World's tallest hat. A very unnecessary accessory, one would imagine, but Odilon Ozare begged to differ. He made a hat that was almost blank meters tall and was required to walk for 10 meters. Oh, right, that doesn't give anything away about the hat. And was required to walk for 10 meters with it balancing on top of his head. He is originally a hat maker by trade, and his grandfather initially inspired him to go after the record-breaking title because of a doll he was given when his grandfather passed away. Ozare told Guinness World Records that one day I was making a doll in a top hat with a rolled-up piece of paper. I was about to cut it and paused for a moment and made the hat 11 inches, which is tall for a 9-inch doll, which inspired him to make one for himself. I'm not going to tell you whether or not that ratio maps onto
it. I was about to say, okay, so if he was about 6 feet. I'm going to say between 7 and 9 feet. No, between 8 and 10 feet.
Okay.
Between 8 and 10 feet. Oh, I guess, yeah. We have to map that onto Matra.
And you said what?
8 to 10 feet.
8 to 10 feet. Ooh, Paul, the answer is 16 feet 5 inches.
I guess I should have guessed. People can balance really tall things.
Yeah, as long as it's not windy.
Yeah. It that was on me. Metros. I didn't think about it long enough.
All right, well, how do you feel about that? Oh, I found the toughest groin kick again. If you want to hear that, just not even to guess.
Yeah.
Kirby Roy volunteered to be delivered one of these fine boots to the testicles by none other than MMA fighter Justice Smith. At a speed of 22 miles per hour with 1,100 pounds of force behind it. With not even a flinch, Roy simply conceded, "That was a strong kick. but explained that it's because he's been kicked there so many times before that his nerves process only 10% of the neurotransmitter necessary to communicate from pain to testicles to the brain. Is this that guy from that previous article that we had?
Oh, come on now.
All right, cool. And that's the end of the article. So, Paul, wrapping up, thoughts about world records, about Guinness, about adjudicating, about trying to break a world record, about me being like Eminem and I sound like a broken record every time I break a record?
Big fact. The thing about records is that do you really want to break one and have to live with that anxiety and fear the rest of your life that if somebody else breaks it, you have to get back into shape to win back the record? Just having to defend your record feels like so much pressure. Just don't break one in the first place.
Ooh, okay. Never aim high because you might feel low at some point.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for finding a better way to word that.
Yeah. You made me want to start doing the hook from Confetti by Big Grit, but he says the N-word a lot in that, and so I don't want to censor myself and still try and make it sound good.
What are you talking about? You have so many options. You could say Ninja, you could say Nathan, you could say Neighbor, you could say...
What's a crown if you don't protect it, Neighbor?
Neighbor.
My no cap is, if you see a hot girl but shorty got a brain, you gotta ask her what the inside of her belly button tastes like.
Bye, buddy.
Bye, bruh.